Good morning, Arizona. Come on around back and let's see who we've got outside the landscape and yard this morning. It's Rosie on the house, your Saturday morning tradition for 28 years. To join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text your questions in during the broadcast to 411-923, and you can email pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And it looks like we have Mr. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service talking trees this morning.
Good morning, good morning. And I have the privilege of having a friend in studio with us this morning. This is Rick Kober. Rick is a certified arborist, a consultant to the landscape industry, and I consider it a privilege to call him my friend, too. Rick, glad to have you.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
We're going to be talking lots about trees today, a lot about nursery trees. Rick has worked in the nursery industry for years and years, and it's we also share once a month, Rick hosts an arborist lunch. So arborists from around the city at Rick's invitation get together at the Persian Gardens at 15th Avenue and Thomas and talk trees, and it's been fun.
We do have fun third Thursday. In fact, that's next Thursday. So
yeah,
looking forward to getting together. I frequently invite Juan Barba, who's our friend from Tucson, and one of these days we'll get Juan up to join us.
I know he has a hard time getting up here just for that one event, but one of these days we're going to catch him when he's in the area. Yeah, if you are an arborist, a practicing arborist, and would like to come talk trees with us, feel free to join us on
anytime.
That.
Open yeah, invitation.
Third Thursday of the month.
Now, becoming a certified arborist is no small task. If I want to go join this, I mean, I've got about 4 years of homework and testing to do before I can become a certified arborist and be a candidate for an invitation, right?
Well, you wouldn't necessarily have to be a certified arborist to be a part of that luncheon. But yeah, a certified arborist is a the test is pretty rough. You know, it has a pretty high fail rate, which is great. We like, you know, it's good to keep the bar high. So you got to work to get there. And then once you get that credential, it's really great. It feels good to be able to let people know you've had a certain basic level of education to be in this industry. And then, of course, you have to maintain your certification by getting a certain number of continuing education units every 3 years and re-up your certification.
Now, before we get to our December talking points, let's talk about the tree of the month. And that's what one of the reasons you've brought Rick in. Y'all have an ash tree.
Yeah, the tree that's become very popular in the nursery industry in the last several years is called the Fan West ash. Now, people are perhaps familiar with the Fan Tex ash. The Fan West ash tree is a cross between a Fan Tex ash and a green ash tree. It seems to get a little larger leaf and has a slightly larger canopy height and spread. It's just become a really popular tree. And there are several varieties of ash trees that we use here in the Phoenix metropolitan area, but the Fan West is really gaining in popularity.
Well, what I like about it, too, is it's really adaptable to poor soil conditions, and it's actually really good for colder areas. If you live in a very cold area and would like a deciduous tree that would manage those cold temperatures, this is a great choice and really vigorous tree and good-looking tree, attractive. You know, we lost a big eucalyptus tree between my house and my neighbor's house right on the street between our driveways. And it was a big 60-foot tree, fell down in one of the recent storms. And we've been planning to put a new tree in. We were waiting for winter and just because we wanted to put a nice deciduous tree in there once our lawn got established. And I'm thinking this would be a good choice for that location because it's a more upright growth habit, which most ash trees are. They grow taller than they grow wide. And it's great for those applications where you want a nice vertical line in your landscape.
Yeah, many people would be familiar with the shamalash. The Fan West kind of looks like a shamalash. It's a big dark green leaf and seems to do better in more situations than the shamalash. Shamalash seem to enjoy being in a turf situation in the Phoenix area. Mm-hmm. And the Fan West could grow in a rock yard or in a yard that has turf.
Nice, kind of like your Texas live oaks, too, are pretty durable that way. You can do well in a rock or a lawn setting.
So you lost a eucalyptus tree, and you're considering this Fan West ash. So you go to a nursery to pick one out. How do you walk through and pick out a tree? You go onto a lot of these nurseries, and there's 100 of one variety of tree. Do you just go, is one as good as the other, or do I need to go look at all 100?
Well, you know what I want to do is turn this question over to Rick. But before I do, I wanted just to mention there's two aspects of tree selection. One is to select the right tree variety, the right species. Once you've narrowed that down and you've decided on the tree you want to purchase, then there's the selection of qualities of that tree. When you go down those rows of hundreds of trees, and I'd like to ask Rick, if you were going to pick out a tree, you've already decided you want to buy the Fan West ash, and you go to the nursery and there's a rows of trees there, what are you looking for in terms of qualities containerized tree? What are some things to look out for and some things to look for?
That's a good question. I would say for me that the two critical aspects of tree selection would be branch placement. You want branches that are equally spaced as they go up from the main stem of the tree. You don't want branches that are what we would say a narrow crotch. We don't want branches that come out of the same growing point. We want branches that are staggered. So one on the left, one on the right, that would go radially around the tree. And I would say the second most important thing is to try and inspect what we would call the root flare or the trunk flare, the part of the tree where the stem goes into the ground. You want to visibly be able to see a widening of that stem
where the trunk tissue becomes root tissue.
Correct. Unfortunately, you know, in our industry, we frequently have trees that have been planted too deep, where they would take a smaller tree and put it into a larger container, and then put it into a larger container again. And
each time adding a little additional soil over the top of that.
Correct. So one of the things we try to do is we try to train people in the nursery industry to make sure that trunk flare is at or above grade. And when we talk about planting trees, we tell people to make sure that they plant about 90% of the root ball in the soil. And it's okay for root tissue to grow slightly above the soil level or in the air. It's very bad for the trees to have that stem tissue be below the grade of the soil. So branch placement's the number one consideration, and then number two would be the trunk flare.
And what happens if you don't see the trunk flare?
Well, you can plant the tree, or you could take your hands and you can push the soil aside and look down in the container to try and find out where that trunk flare actually is located, how deep in the container that the tree is growing in, how deep below the surface of the soil is the trunk flare. So if you do purchase a tree that trunk flare is not necessarily visible above the soil line in the container, when you plant your tree, you can knock off the first few inches of soil in the container.
Is it okay if a consumer goes and digs a little bit around the base of the tree in the nursery?
At most nurseries, we would be glad to see the consumer do that.
Yeah, just a general interest. Well, if it's buried significantly deep where you dig down and you can't find it within 2 or 3 inches, better to move on to the next
tree
and see if you
Correct.
Can.
And that's something that you and I do when we do consulting arboriculture. Will frequently be called onto a site at a commercial landscape situation where the tree may have been planted way too deep. I was at a property in the northwest part of the valley where the trunk flare was 15 inches below the surface of the soil.
Right.
And in that case, this was a very large tree that had been planted with a crane. It's almost impossible to replant a tree in that situation.
Yeah, they're too large to move them up in the soil. So what we've done sometimes is we'll dig down until we find the root collar, excavate out to about a 2 or 3 foot radius around the tree, and then remove that soil. Now the soil, the level now of the root collar is going to be slightly lower in the soil than the surrounding grade. So then we'll sometimes terrace with some brick or some riprap or something around to prevent the soil from migrating back down into that basin that we've created. But it gives the tree a wonderful lease on life because it's pulled the soil away from the root tissue, from the trunk, And now that there's no susceptibility to fungal pathogens attacking that trunk tissue, which is the real risk of having that soil too high above the root collar, because that trunk tissue can't take the water.
No.
And it, once that cambium gets mushy and or the bark gets mushy, the cambium can get invaded by fungal pathogens, and eventually a tree can die.
Yeah, the main pathogen there is a disease called Phytophthora, and which means plant destroyer. And so basically when plants get Phytophthora at that location, it's usually fatal for the tree.
Yeah, it's pretty tough for them to recover, let alone that extra soil over the root zone is capping the oxygen to the root zone as well. So trees languish sometimes. They'll sit in the soil, you know, for a couple of years, and we'll see these customers will say, why is my tree not doing anything? It's healthy. It doesn't have Phytophthora, but it's not doing really well. And we find out that the tree's 3 or 4 or 5 inches too deep in the soil, and the roots are just struggling to get the oxygen they need.
Exactly.
And sometimes we'll excavate out, you know, 2 or 3 feet. We'll dig down and find the root collar, then excavate out. It might be 2 or 3 inches of soil even. And with our high, tight clay soils, you know, it's like an oxygen cap. We'll pull that soil out, create a little basin, and, man, those trees have just responded beautifully, and they've flourished.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie, for you, when we get back, we'll get to December's checklist on our Talking Trees calendar and your calls. 1-888-767-4348.